LYT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect is sponsored in part by Bosque Home Services, heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. 505-444-7200. That's 505-444-7200. Or on the web at HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com. Bosque Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. Thank you for your support of KLYT and our show, ABQ Connect. And thank you for joining us on ABQ Connect. Hope everybody had a great weekend. No snow today. It's nice and warm outside, or at least warmer, I guess is what I should say. We're joined in studio by Dr. Sandra Whistler, and we're going to be talking about pediatric specialty care for children and youth with special health care needs, developmental disabilities, and medical complexity. Big topic. Not a lot of people know about this, Dr. Whistler. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, we have a number of different organizations that are Christian ministries that work with people with disabilities, developmental issues, different things, Johnny and Friends being one. You mentioned off the air when we met a few weeks ago in preparation for today that you have worked with some patients. But there's just a huge need in New Mexico. Tell us a little bit about your work in pediatric specialty care.
Well, I was born and raised in New Mexico. I did go away to college, to Baylor University. I got my BS in biology, came back to New Mexico, and got my Master of Science in cell biology. And then I was admitted at the UNM School of Medicine, and my first field I wanted to go into was orthopedic surgery. And after I did my peds rotation, and by that time I had a young son, I loved his pediatrician. She was a very strong Christian, and I started leading towards pediatrics. So I did my pediatric residency after medical school here at UNM. And when we were interns, Dr. Clark Hansberger gave every one of us one child to get out of the hospital and who had special needs. In those days, and I've been doing this for almost 32 years, children either stayed in the hospital for their lifetime or went to a nursing home, mostly where older people were. And so I had the privilege of working with a little girl. We got her home, and then I developed a reputation for taking care of children with special health care needs.
And talk to us about some of the specific special health care needs. What are those?
Well, so children and youth with special health care needs can be a huge spectrum, from asthma to children with seizure disorders, genetic disorders, cerebral palsy. And then we also have a subgroup, and these are the medically complex children, and they are the ones that are dependent on medical technology to live. So this would include children on breathing machines, children who have feeding tubes, vagal nerve stimulators, pacemakers. There's a lot of different things.
Dr. Whistler, I have to say this, and it's not on my little list, but you really have a calling and a care in your life to take care of people that some might consider not that important.
That is true. It hasn't always been easy, but God has reminded me that he put me in charge of some of his most vulnerable children.
And we're speaking of God now, he values all of us.
He does. Every single human being. You would be amazed. You know, these children used to die in childhood or maybe in teenagehood. They never made it to adulthood. But now these children are surviving up to 30 years. And I have had some children die, of course. And when you go to the funerals and you hear of like tens and hundreds of lives that they've touched, it's amazing. Everyone has a purpose.
Yeah. Amen. What has Senate Memorial Number 9 requesting the Department of Health to conduct a study on the feasibility of creating a center for complex care for adults and children in New Mexico.
So this is super exciting. And we, another pediatrician oncologist and myself and another provider who does complementary alternative medicine, we put together a memorial in 2014 asking for a task force to get together and see what the needs are for the children of New Mexico. And so this is the third memorial to go up to the legislature concerning children with special health care needs. And at that time, well, so let me just say, currently there are 90,000.
I have the figure, 90,924.
Children with special health care needs, that's 18.7% of the population in New Mexico. And then adults with disability are 460,365 adults, and that's 28% of our population.
Yeah, we just barely have not even 2 million people in our state. That's a lot of people.
That is. And so the what the task force decided was we need a freestanding center for complex care. And that's what this bill is about. We had another memorial come up in 2018 when the Pediatric Society of New Mexico was looking why so many children are going out of state for their medical care, especially special needs children. And so I'm going to use special needs as a blanket, including medically complex. So we met and we talked about why they were going out of state. The number two recommendation to the legislature at that time was a freestanding center for complex care. So this summer we were meeting with an adult who had a childhood disease, spina bifida, and she's having trouble negotiating the medical system in New Mexico to get the care she needs now as an adult. She spoke to the Health and Human Services Committee with the legislature, and they recommended this year come forward with a feasibility study to see how much this would cost, and then next year we'll put a bill in. So it would be hopefully recurring funds for $3 to $3.5 million. And the beauty, I could go on forever about this, sorry.
No, you please tell us the details.
So the beauty of a freestanding center for complex care, as far as we know, there are not any in the country quite like this. We would have children on one side, adults on the other. So when the children get over 18, they can literally walk across the hall and meet with an adult provider. Right now, getting our children with special needs with adult providers, it's extremely difficult to do.
And you're describing people that need not necessarily hospitalization, but 24-hour care because of their condition, but their lives are worth it.
They are, absolutely. And the parents, you wouldn't believe how dedicated and wonderful the parents are. And, you know, our goal is to keep them out of the hospital. So if they have good care with a primary care physician and someone who's a specialist like myself, we can keep them out of the hospital. And so that's our goal. We want them to be at home and to live as normal of a life as possible.
As possible. This is Senate Memorial 9, SM9. It's in the legislature right now. And what is the status of that bill? The reason I'm asking you is we're a little different than other radio stations. Our listeners, literally Dr. Whistler, will go, "This sounds cool. We're asking God to help you." And that's what I'm going to tell you. I'm testifying. Our listeners, that's what they do. They just hear something, you know, God speaks to them through people many times and through the word, and they will hear something that they want to get involved in, and that's first for them. And I'm hoping that some people will take up that mantle before the Lord and be praying for this. So tell us the status right now up in Santa Fe of where the bill's at.
So right now, the bill is being, or the memorial is being carried by Greg Shimides, Dr. Greg Shimides. He is a senator from the East Mountains outside of Albuquerque. It is sitting in the Rules Committee right now on the table. What we need are prayers and calls to any senators you know on the Rules Committee to for them to pick this memorial up and look at it and pass it to the next group so that we can get this going and get this done. We have an accounting firm who's ready and willing to do this. We need $35,000 to $50,000 appropriation. The Department of Health, they've looked at this already and passed it through. There's been a fiscal internal review done on this. And so we're ready to go. So we need prayers and calls to any of your senators who are on that Rules Committee.
And the $35,000 funding is going to go to a feasibility study. So somebody's going to put together a budget and what insurances we'd be billed. And I would imagine, and I've got this a little farther down the list, but I would imagine that healthcare providers and insurance companies might save money for New Mexicans, people that are staying in New Mexico for treatment. Is that true?
That is absolutely true. And that would help our children not to have to go, for instance, up to Children's Hospital Colorado. I actually was a visiting professor there for a year and a half. They have a fabulous facility and specialist for children with special health care needs. But one of my patients has to go for immunology and some more specific genetics. Plus, this child has Ehlers-Danlos. We have no Ehlers-Danlos clinic in New Mexico. We have one geneticist in the whole state.
Well, and I know we got to be careful with HIPAA and total
right.
confidence, but just in general, what are the parents of this child, what do they have to go through just to get care for their child?
So the first thing is they have to get a referral from the primary care physician or from myself, and then it has to get a prior authorization through their insurance. They have to help set up transportation and lodging up in Denver. The child will usually they group appointments so they could see 4, 5, 6 specialists all in one trip. But they have to get the child up there, get them in accommodations, make sure they can get to the appointments, and then come back. And it's extremely difficult on families. I mean, you may have, you know, 2 or 3 other kids at home, and who are they with if dad's working, or they go up with dad and mom's working, or it's really difficult. And we had an incident with one of our children, and we had to be at Denver because there was nothing for our child here. And we lived a month at Ronald McDonald House. And my husband was up there 2 weeks with our child. And then I went up for 2 more. And our other kids were still at home. They're in school. You know, the older sister, you know, she's hard to understand what's happening. And it's just extremely difficult on families to have to travel. But with the Center for Complex Care, the beauty is we can do telehealth. So we can do special clinics via telehealth all over the state and then perhaps have the child come once a year to Albuquerque, you know, for a full exam. But we can handle a lot of problems and other things via telehealth to the state.
Yeah, and it's my own vision, not yours. But if it's valuable, I'd love for you to take it. I'm seeing this develop into something that churches and other people can get involved with, helping families as they come here.
Yes.
Because they're going to need to stay here for a certain amount of time, and we can open up our homes, we can buy hotel rooms, we can provide food. I mean, we can do a lot of things to help these families.
We can. And there is Ronald McDonald, but, you know, there's only so many rooms mm-hmm. there. And, you know, the possibilities with the Center for Complex Care, we can also help young adults who had childhood cancer. one of the other physicians, Linda Boutros, Dr. Boutros, who started this with me. She has a cancer survivor clinic, and we could do that through the Center for Complex Care. We can train pediatricians, family practice docs, internal medicines, physicians about these complex children, because they're not really trained like pediatrics, and they're hesitant to take these children as they become adults. We can train OT, PT, speech therapists. We can buy time for specialists from the other big health organizations in Albuquerque. It's just unlimited. There's a couple of palliative care groups. There's hospice groups for children we could team up with. It's just the possibilities are unlimited.
Dr. Sandra Whistler, she is a pediatrician in specialty care for children and youth with special needs. We're going to be back with her. She'll be with us up till the top of the hour, so I hope you'll stay with us. A neat vision for a facility that could really help children and adults in New Mexico called a Center for Complex Care for Adults and Children. We'll be right back with Dr. Whistler right after these messages.
Steve Russo with Real Answers.
How long can the average person survive without water? About 3 days, even though some people have reportedly survived up to 10 days according to the SAS Survival Guide. Or how long can the average person go without food? About 3 weeks. According to several scientific studies, there have been documented cases where people have lived for more than 40 days. But what about shelter? Why can the hunt for shelter sometimes trump the need to find food or water? Because shelter protects us from damaging elements such as heat or cold. And it can also provide a sense of well-being that keeps up your will to survive. However, there's another shelter that's even more critical to our survival than physical. It's the living God. The Bible reminds us that when we take shelter in God, He will provide for us and protect us in times of trouble.
For real answers to real issues, log on to Steve's website, www.realanswers.com.
For 45 years, Hope Christian School has been helping students explore God's world and discovering their place in it. From preschool through high school, Hope offers advanced academics, championship athletics, and comprehensive arts program, all founded on non-denominational Christian worldview. Applications are now being accepted for the 2022-23 school year. Learn more at hopechristianschool.org and our Facebook and Instagram pages.
The largest investment for a family is their home. For decades, Carlos Griego and the team at Bosque Home Services has been taking care of houses. Now, here is Carlos talking with Jim Williams about some of the most common issues homeowners need to know about.
Carlos, tell us some of the common misconceptions between what maintenance is required on a refrigerated air system versus maybe a swamp cooling system.
A really common misconception with refrigerated air is that you only need to have it maintained every 3 to 4 years. Refrigerated air should be maintained every year. There's a lot of different things that can go wrong with that could be prevented, because 90% of our repairs are lack of maintenance. It's deferred maintenance. It's dirty coils.
Bosque Home Services, online at HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com or 444-7200. That's HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com or 444-7200.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We want to thank Ben Lucero and Indigo Mortgage for supporting the ministry of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Indigo Mortgage, 505-836-5700. That's 505-836-5700 or on the web at indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect. As we're talking with pediatric physician Sandra Whistler, you might want to go to her website. It's S-A-N-D-R-A and then W-H-I-S, no T, L-E-R, so Whistler, no T, .com. Her office is located at 2724 Vassar Place Northeast. Her phone number is 505-910-7339. There's less and less physicians in New Mexico. Isn't that true, Dr.
That
Whistler?
Is true.
And there's not very many people with your specialty.
That is also true. Currently, I can think of less than 5 people in the whole state of New Mexico who specialize in children with special health care needs. And that was one reason I worked at UNM. I'm a full professor. And now I retired from there to go up to Denver, which at that time, that children's hospital was number 5 in the country. And I just wanted to see, you know, what other people did. And now I'm losing my train of thought of why I'm telling you.
Well, you know, you just said something that's very important to me. I'm a native New Mexican, and you said you were too.
Yes.
So you go up to Denver and you look at the number 5 pediatric care hospital in the country. Can New Mexico get up to the top of that list? Could we lead the nation in pediatric care? Could we be the best place for you to raise a child in America? Is that actually a possibility for us?
Absolutely. Across the board.
But it's going to take some hard work.
It is. It will take a lot of hard work, dedication, and of course some money to do it. But I think we're certainly capable of doing that. And we're doing things. When I went up to Denver at Children's, the way I was taking care of my patients here was the way that they were doing it up there. So, I mean,
we're doing cutting edge stuff.
Doing cutting edge stuff. And in the past, we've had programs such as Medically Fragile that nobody else in the whole country had at that time. That's how I got my first patient home. She was on a ventilator or a breathing machine. And that's how we got her home, because they have specialized nursing that can be at home with these kids who are very medically complex. And so one reason I came back from Colorado was because there's not very many people like me in the state. And I felt like I needed to come back to help with this population. I felt God was calling me back. My family really didn't like Denver. So I came back.
It's a little colder than Albuquerque.
It is. It is.
And by the way, I love Colorado. I think it's a great place to visit. But I live in good old New Mexico, because we truly have 4 distinct seasons. We have a landscape that, you know, we might not have quite as many gigantic mountains as Colorado, but we have beautiful mountain ranges, beautiful prairies, beautiful desert. We have rivers and lakes and amazing things here. And I'm thinking about this population of people that you're talking about caring for. You want them to have an opportunity to experience more of the world and not just be stuck in a hospital room.
That is absolutely true. They deserve to be out and do all the wonderful things and see the wonderful things that God has provided. And the more we can help them and their families be independent, the better off they are. So that was one reason with Medically Fragile, which started a few years ago, probably 30, was because they wanted these kids out of the hospital. No child should have to live in a hospital for their whole life. And so they figured out how to get the nursing and how to get technology and get the durable medical equipment and all those things, so those children could go home and be with their families. Children should be with their families.
You know, I mentioned to you off the air that my daughter is going to be graduating from nursing school next week. And you just mentioned nursing. And we have 90,000+ youth, over 400 adults with these special needs. I'm thinking that there's a bunch of high school students right now that need to be thinking about, maybe nursing is what's God's call on my life. Because we're going to have a huge need, especially as you begin providing this additional care.
Well, and as technology progresses, we're going to have more of these children that will be able to save for longer lifespans. There is a shortage of nurses in New Mexico as well as doctors. We desperately need nurses. Yeah. Desperately.
Yeah, and specially trained nurses.
That's
But true. This isn't something you're going to learn in nursing school. They need to come to work with a Dr. Whistler and learn, don't they? They have to have some experience with people.
They need to learn this population. Yes.
Yeah.
It's different. It's a little different.
When you learn something, I guess you mentioned a disease earlier. I don't have any idea what that was. And most of our listeners, I think, are going to be like me. They don't know how overwhelming this is. Are we talking about, you know, there could be 500 different kinds of things that people are facing, and this center would be addressing the complexity of all of them?
Yes, that's very true. I mentioned Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. It's a connective tissue disease, so it affects your joints and your collagen and all, and your cartilage. It makes you, it's great if you're a ballet dancer, let me say that.
Flexible.
Your legs can be really high. When you do these special moves, you know, your legs are way up in the air. But as you age, it's very hard on your joints. And you can also see chronic headaches with this, gastrointestinal problems that can be severe. There's other problems. Sometimes there's heart and blood pressure problems, sleep apnea. So it's a whole grouping, pot full of different things that can happen with this. And I also see a lot of children with cerebral palsy. And that's a muscle disease. And it usually about 80% of whatever injury to the brain occurs that causes kids having problems moving their arms and legs and talking and that sort of thing occur in utero before birth. And so when these children are born, it's imperative to get them in with all of the therapies and the specialists and everything to make their quality of life better. If you can, there's a thing called neuroplasticity. It's where the brain, there's an injury in one area of the brain. You can teach other areas of the brain to take over that function. And it needs to start right away. And so I'm part of one group that's doing a special testing to detect that early. And the sooner you start that, the better outcome. We have one little patient we saw, and it cerebral palsy hadn't been diagnosed. The child is now older, and you wouldn't know she had it if you didn't know it. I mean, neuroplasticity is powerful, but you have to utilize it early.
And it has to be done early,
mm-hmm.
Just retraining the brain. The brain is a very complex thing, isn't it?
It is. It is.
And do we have doctors that assist you in areas like brain surgery and all these other things? Do we have those people here in New Mexico?
We have a couple of at least one pediatric neurosurgeon. I'm not sure if there are more. If there are, there's maybe one or two more.
I'm thinking there's 90,000 people with various needs, and there's Dr. Whistler, and then one doctor here in neurosurgery, and this and that. That's just not enough people to take care of everybody.
It's not. We need more peds neurologists. We only have one pediatric cardiothoracic surgeon that I know of that works on, you know, newborn hearts and older children doing surgery on their hearts. And so a lot of these kids are being sent out of state because they can't get the care here. And as past president of the New Mexico Medical Society, I've been very involved in what we call retention and recruitment of physicians. We need to get our physicians, keep them here in the state of New Mexico, make it worth their while. We want them to feel comfortable raising their families here. And so our crime rate and some other things that we're dealing with make it harder to attract physicians, nurses, therapists, you know.
Yeah, and I just have to make a political statement. Sorry, I'm doing this. I mean, right now, we started the program today talking about Senate Memorial 9. It's requesting the Department of Health to conduct a feasibility study on creating a center for complex care. You would think that request of the legislature, even though it's largely a political body, would be bipartisan in their approach to this bill. Any objections from anybody that you know of?
Not that I know of. I personally can't see how anybody would be against this type of memorial. I think almost everybody would be for it. Part of the thing we need to remember is this center would not just be for Albuquerque. We could utilize it for the children and adults all over the state of New Mexico. And that's important because the legislators, they're representing their section of people in their area. And we have to make sure that it's benefiting all of New Mexicans, not just Albuquerque or
so if you're
whatever.
If you're a parent and you have somebody with a special need, a child, would it be easier for you to have your child getting cared for out of Albuquerque? You already mentioned telehealth availability and stuff, maybe once a year driving 3.5 hours to Albuquerque, then driving up to Denver. That sounds a lot easier.
Right. It would be so much easier for them.
I can't imagine if you've mentioned that families are going out of state for care. I'm wondering, just as we're talking, how are parents maintaining their jobs and things if they have to go out of state for care?
A lot of them, it's very difficult, and they can't. I mean, unless they have an employer that has a lot of sympathy and compassion for the child. It's hard to maintain the family unit. The divorce rate is very high for families who have children with special needs.
Yeah.
And trying to maintain your job and the family unit, it can be really difficult.
When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the adults that might be able to take advantage of the facility and things going on specifically to adults. Dr. Sandra Whistler in studio, and we are talking about the Center for Complex Care for Adults and Children feasibility study has been requested some funding for that of the New Mexico legislature. Right now they're in committee. I don't know if I trust those committees very much, but let's just say we're going to be praying that the bill makes a little headway. We'll be back with Dr. Whistler right after these messages.
Calvary Church Elementary is now accepting applications for the 2022 school year. Join our growing community of families that value Christian education with a loving emphasis on whole child instruction, educating the student academically, physically, spiritually, and socially. Learn about our biblical form of instruction known as Paideia. For more information and online applications, go to calvarychurchelementary.com or call 338-4848. 338-4848.
Hi, this is Jim Williams, host of ABQ Connect, broadcast live Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 o'clock p.m. We talk with authors, musicians, pastors, politicians, teachers, business people, husbands, wives, parents, counselors, athletes, doctors, nutritionists, coaches, and a lot more flavors of people living a life of faith. Please join us. I think you will be encouraged as you hear our guests open up about their own lives and how faith directs their service and love for people. Join us on ABQ Connect Monday through Friday at 1 o'clock or listen to the program podcast 24/7 at abqconnect.online.
There's a top 10 list for just about everything. But what about a top 10 list that can actually impact your faith? Skip Heitzig's top 10 messages will really make a mark. Here's a sample from what most people don't know about heaven.
Somebody once said there are going to be at least three surprises in heaven. First of all, who's there that you thought would never make it? Second, who's not there that you were sure would make it? And then number three, the fact that you yourself are there by God's grace.
Hear Skip teach on heaven, hell, and the end times, and topics like the Holy Spirit and true happiness. And when you give $35 or more today, we'll also send you Reload Love, Lenya Heitzig's book about the founding of a ministry that's been helping children victimized by terror for nearly two decades. Visit connectwithskip.com to give today and get Skip's top 10 messages on CD, plus your copy of Reload Love by Lenya Heitzig, or call 800-922-1888.
From the the KLYT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect would like to thank Essenmacher Family Dental for their support of KLYT, with services including children's dentistry, preventive dentistry, and more. Their new Albuquerque office is located at 8310 Palomas Avenue Northeast, Suite C, 505-372-0086, or online at snmacherdental.com. We're talking with Dr. Sandra Whistler. She is a pediatric medical doctor, and I am still amazed that you have chosen to help what sounds like a very difficult population of people to help. So your heart just really must be led by the Lord to do this.
It is. It is. It's not what I planned originally.
Yeah.
I originally planned to be an orthopedic surgeon, and then when I got into medical school, as I said, my child's doctor was a pediatrician who was a Christian, and she was wonderful. And then I loved my pediatric rotation, and so then I decided I would do pediatrics. It was a real change of heart. I didn't really like children. I didn't like babysitting. I taught children ballet, but then they went home. And so I never had considered pediatrics at all until residency. So.
Yeah, and the Lord changed your heart.
He did.
Talk to us about the adults, though. You mentioned that there may be as many as 400,000 adults or more living in the state of New Mexico with these special needs.
There are, according to the Center for Disease Control, or Center for Control and Prevention. So the problem is pediatricians, we've all done our newborn intensive care rotations and taken care of children in the hospital and hopefully taking care of these children on the outside in the outpatient arena. But it's when they turn 18, 18's a magic number in so many ways. And at 18, one of the big things we have to address before they turn 18 is guardianship. Because you can have a child who has cerebral palsy, who does not speak, and all of a sudden, at 18, magically, they're in charge of their health care. And, you know, they can't do it. So you need someone, a guardian assigned by the courts, to be the spokesperson for this child. And then the problem is at 18, you need to transition and transfer them to adult doctors. A lot of pediatricians and medical systems will not see these children once they're over 18. So that's a problem. You have to find a family practice or internal medicine doctor who's willing to take care of this child, who may have 20 problems, 20 medicines, and they've never been trained to take care of cerebral palsy or seizures or congenital heart disease or whatever this particular genetic condition the child has. So that's part of the beauty of the Center for Complex Care. We can train pediatric as well as adult residents, so when they, you know, go out into the world, so to speak, they'll be comfortable taking care of this population.
I have to think, and I hope everybody has the same hope, is that at some point we're not dealing with COVID.
I hope so.
So I'm framing this question at whatever point our dealing with COVID will allow it. I'm thinking about people that sound like they are largely alone in the hospital or even at home, or maybe just a few family members. Are there people that might be listening today that a ministry for them could be to just read a book to people or to just sit with them and talk with them? Or, I mean, are there things that volunteers could do? I know COVID kind of has messed all that up.
There certainly are, especially when COVID is over. Both UNM and Presbyterian have Child Life, and volunteers can go in and interact with children in the hospital through that. They like to have people come and read books and play puzzles and just talk to the kids. Not all the parents, especially when kids are hospitalized and the parents are out of town, that parent may not be with their child the whole time. And it's kind of scary for a child to be by themselves in the hospital. There's also pet therapy. And I did that until recently with my little Boston Terrier. And you can bring dogs that are specifically trained to do this into the hospital. And you wouldn't believe the joy it brings to children to have a dog come in. If they're small enough and depending on where you are, the dog may be able to get on the bed with them. They can pet the dog. Those kind of things bring joy to the children that are alone a lot of times in the hospital. Also, it's unbelievable with pet therapy what happens with the staff. I mean, we could not get through the door to the rooms of the children because all of the staff was up front visiting with the dogs. They really help decrease stress.
Yeah, I love that. And I imagine that if there are children alone, that there's more adults alone.
That's part of the tragedy, especially with COVID. My aunt was in the hospital in Las Cruces, and she did not have COVID. But because of COVID, she sat for 5 days alone, dying in the hospital. And finally, on the last day, my uncle was able to come and visit her for a short while. And they signed all the papers, you know, the DNR papers, all that. And then he went home and they said, go home. We'll call you when we're ready, when she's dying, when she's for sure going to die. And they came back at 2 o'clock the next morning. But it's tragic. And there's a lot of people, even without COVID, that are alone in the hospitals that need visitors and people to come see them.
Yes.
We also took the dogs up to the adult units as well.
Yeah, and I'm not even so, I mean, personally, and I know a lot of people are terrified of it, I'm not personally afraid of COVID. But COVID itself is keeping hospitals shut down so that minimum numbers of people can come in and visit and doing different things. So I'm just really praying that we are on the downslope and that that's going to go away. And I think there's people listening today that have been locked in their homes. They've been thinking, gee, what am I going to do when this is all over or whatever? And maybe they're not working, but they'd love to serve some way. This is something until I met you I didn't really ever think about. I feel insensitive that I didn't know about all of these people that have special needs. We frequently have ministries like Johnny and Friends, who works with people with disabilities and injuries and various things, and they provide amazing care. They do respite care for the caregivers because it's so traumatic on families to just every day be caregiver, caregiver, caregivers. And it almost seems you feel guilty when you're exhausted, but you just don't have any more to give. So Johnny and Friends has this great ministry, and there's others that are doing that same thing. And we think that's amazing frontline love with the love of Jesus kind of thing. I mean, it's amazing the way people serve. So I hope there's people listening that would feel like, hey, I'm retired. This is an amazing way you could help. But right now, there's probably not a way you can do that until COVID's lifted.
That's true. And speaking of respite, and we were talking about the legislature, mm-hmm. like who wouldn't have a heart for this center? We had a bill actually up for ambulatory care respite. So that means for children, there are children, autistic children, certain types of children with cerebral palsy, children with seizures, and their parents have no respite. There's no, they're always with the child 24/7. So we got a bill passed, and actually it passed 3 years in a row to do weekend respite for these children at Carrie Tingley when it was a separate hospital, but still affiliated with UNM. And one of the years we had three bills going, two in the House and one in the Senate. I mean, everybody was for this. Because we would take anybody out of state anywhere in the state of New Mexico. So respite is a huge need. I just want to make sure that your listeners hear that. I'm glad you brought that up because it's a huge need. And
Yeah, and caring for the caregivers is a way, one person said to me. I always think about that analogy when you get on an airplane. They always teach you to take the oxygen mask first yourself and then place it on your child or the a loved one with you. And it's almost that same way with caregivers. You have to take care of yourself or you're not going to be able to continue giving care to those who might need it.
And I'd also like to mention that's absolutely true. You've got to take care of yourself first and then take care of others. This COVID pandemic has been really hard on the children with special needs because they haven't been able to go to school. They're starting to go back to school. Maybe some of the parents are really scared for their child to go and get COVID because they already have all these things going on and it could make it worse. And so these children have been so isolated, and a lot of times school is their way that they are in social environments and they interact with other children, and they haven't been able to do that. And that's been hard.
Yeah. And there's only so many of these, Zoom networks and other things that you can do. Looking at somebody on a video is not the same as talking to them in person. That's absolutely true.
That's true.
Dr. Sandra Whistler is part of a bill called Senate Memorial 9. It's been sponsored by State Senator Greg Schmettes, and he is a physician himself.
Yes.
Ear, nose, and throat, did you tell me?
Yes.
And in the East Mountains. And so, you know, teaming up to really care for a population of both adults and children, and a study has been requested, funding for a study, feasibility study, to create the Center for Complex Care for Adults and Children in the state of New Mexico. And I'm hoping that we give some real attention to that and to this population. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Sandra and your vision moving forward and what you hope happens over the next couple of years.
Okay.
We'll be back. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
John Chitwood of Southern Boulevard Automotive.
I have towed many vehicles in for repair, with the customer stating the car just stalled while I was driving. After diagnosing it, I've had to make that phone call many times and state to the customer, you're out of gas and you need to refuel. Many Christians are like that. They need to be refueling daily with God's word in order to keep themselves moving forward and to have the mind of Christ. Dwight L. Moody was once asked why he urged Christians to be filled constantly with the Holy Spirit. He replied, "I need continuous infilling because I leak." What gauge do you use in your life to know if you're running on empty of the infilling of God's Spirit?
Southern Boulevard Automotive, 2300 Southern Boulevard in Rio Rancho, 892-2300, or southernblvdautomotive.com. Thank you, John Chitwood at Southern Boulevard Automotive, for your support of KLYT 88.3 FM.
Kids Deep Ticket Alert. All remaining tickets are only $10.
What's up? It's Toby Mac, and it's Kids Deep 2022, and this year is going to crush. We're going to have an amazing time with my man Crowder, Cochran and Company, Kane, and Terrian.
Friday, February 11th at Rio Rancho Event Center. For a limited time, all remaining tickets are only $10 plus venue and ticketing fees. Tickets available at awakeningfoundation.com. An Awakening Foundation event.
We're surrounded by traumatic events. It can make you feel powerless.
How can I help? How can I make a difference?
The International Fellowship of Chaplains provides training to meet the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs of victims during times of crisis. IFOC will be holding a training at Calvary Chapel Southwest March 21st through the 25th. Discount available if registered by February 21st. For more information about the training or registration, call 270-5839, abqchaplaincorps.org.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are back with Sandra Whistler. She is a medical doctor of pediatric specialty care for children and youth. And she's got this heart that she's not doing the general, let's make a bunch of money medicine. She's helping people with very serious problems. And you're helping people. I have to say that you almost seem gifted to be long suffering and working with people in very difficult circumstances.
Well, thank you.
Well, and I know you're not here on the radio for me to praise you, but I love real ministry. I love when people have a heart to just be involved with people, and you obviously have that. Talk to us a little bit more about the adults. What's kind of bringing this to the forefront now?
Well, I'll use one adult as an example with spina bifida. Spina bifida is when the spinal cord, usually in utero, is exposed. For some reason, the vertebrae didn't cover it, or you have half of a vertebrae instead of a whole bone in your back. And sometimes they're open. There's an opening to the air, and it causes damage to the spinal cord. And it can be at different levels. But the problem is, long term, the damage is permanent. And so people, there's different degrees of how well they can function and deal with it. But once you become an adult, it's hard to find a primary care doctor who will take care of you, for instance, with this condition. Then it's hard to find specialists who will also take care of you. They have to know what their surveillance and what the recommendations for adults with spina bifida are. And there's things you have to do, and you have to do urines and get blood work and stuff every year and make sure the kidneys are functioning, making sure orthopedic-wise everything is good, making sure neurologically with the neurologist everything is working well. And it's hard for people to find all these specialists and their primary care and make a team to support them. It's really lacking, the whole team approach in the state, yeah, from what I can tell from New speaking Mexico, with adults.
New Mexico just doesn't have the people resources as far as physicians, maybe not even the technological resources.
That could be true. You know, so I'm just speaking on adults. I'm not as familiar with the technology that we have. I think most of it we have or we could get, but if they need some special urological, like something for their urine to follow the urinary tract, they may have to go out of state as well. And it's piecemeal care. That's what it is for adults, especially. You get a little piece here, a little piece there, but it's never brought together.
Well, this might be asking from a position of naivete, because I don't know if this is the way it works, but I'm thinking, you've mentioned several projects that you've put together over the years, and those have worked well and helped a lot of people, but they weren't continuing. What can our lawmakers do in Santa Fe to change this whole course and make New Mexico a center for this type of care and really be considered, say, the number one special needs care for children and adults in the country? I mean, to me, I'd like to get it to be the top of a good list.
Right. Well, I think, first of all, you need God touching people's hearts to change their hearts and make them sensitive to the need that we have. And then I think, you know, bringing children and letting legislators and other people see them and see them when they're out at the park playing and going on a slide or whatever, letting them know that, you know, these kids can live as normal of a life as possible. Funding's a huge problem. I'm actually going to Houston in the near future. There's a group called Texana, and they have a huge center for autism. And the beauty of this group is they have some funding from the state, but they also have grants and donations. And I think for our center to be successful, especially initially, we'll need recurring funding for 3 to 5 years to get it from the legislature, to get it off the ground while we're looking and working for donations and writing for grants and looking at funding sources. So I think the biggest limitation probably is funding.
You know, it seems to me, and I'm thinking about the insurance companies right now. I know the premiums that I've paid for my family in the past. I have 5 children. I'm thinking about my own personal premiums that I pay today. And if I had to go out of state as an adult for some special thing. Again, you mentioned room and board and this and that. I can't imagine having to go somewhere for a week for less than $3,000-$4,000 in additional costs, food, lodging, et cetera, on top of the medical care. So it sounds like having this center, the Center for Complex Care for Adults and Children, would reduce those costs for insurance companies. So I'm thinking in my mind, I hope you have their support as well.
I hope so. We'll see. Most of these children are on Medicaid. The problem is when their parents make too much to qualify for Medicaid, then they're paying out of pocket with the private insurers, and that is really difficult. But
you're still talking about the taxpayers. It's going to be,
yes.
You know, the public could think about this. Okay, we're paying in, every check that you every dollar you make, you're giving a portion of that to the United States government. Well, this is, at least it sounds like, the math would add up to reducing the burden on taxpayers to take care of people and enhancing their quality of life.
Absolutely. I think it could.
Yeah, win-win. What about just, I'll tell you one fun thing. I love to fish. And one of the things I've always wondered is I love to go, I don't want to give away my fishing hole because then it'll be too crowded, but I'll tell you one of them that I really like. I like to go to the Texas Hole up on the San Juan River near Farmington. And they have several platforms that you can, if you're in a wheelchair or whatever, you can roll out over the river and you can fish. You can fly fish. But I've never seen anyone use them. I'm thinking if we do this right, we've got beautiful places all over the state that people with special needs could be using, again, enhancing their way of life and touching their lives and maybe allowing them even more opportunity to minister to us.
Yes, absolutely. There's a lot of beautiful places that if they don't have access for disabled people, you could make access. There's actually a park for children with disabilities, and I think it's on the west side. But how many people know about that? There was at least one parent, and probably more, that worked very hard to get that park put up. And
there was at one time a little trail up off of North 14 in the La Cienega campground where they had a nature trail that was wheelchair accessible.
Yes.
I don't know if it's still there, but I do know when I was up there maybe 3 years ago, it hadn't been maintained well.
Oh.
You know, and I hate to see that kind of stuff. And again, that's a different topic. I'm just talking about let's make New Mexico a place where people can come for the best medical care in the country. And let's do that. Let's do that well.
I agree. I mean, we could be. We've done in the past in the medical community in New Mexico a lot of wonderful things that have greatly enhanced the health of New Mexicans. And I don't think people give us enough credit. We're a poor state, but we do big things. And I think this is a big thing that we could do, yeah, again, and have nationwide recognition. We should be at least the regional place to come to for children with disabilities, yeah, and adults, and have them side by side, make it easy for the family, make sure we contact all areas of the state and provide them with help and care as well.
It's yeah, so important. So every senator, every member of the House could depend on this center to take care of their constituents. And Dr. Yes. Whistler, one last thing. You want our listeners to pray.
Yes, please. Please pray for this. It's huge. God is a God of miracles. We've got to get this off the Rules Committee table, get it moving forward, and God can do it with your prayers. Thank you.
Thank you.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling, 505-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT.
The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management at KLYT. If you missed any or part of today's show, the podcast can be found at abqconnect.online.